This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Monday, November 5th. Well, the last week, the wheat markets were up three across all three major futures markets. We had corn also up three, soybeans were up 29. And of course, the soybeans getting a strong response to a tweet from the president that he was going to be meeting with the Chinese president at the G20 later this month, and that potentially there could be some breakthrough in this trade impasse that we have. Of course, the Chinese president over the weekend also speaking and really didn't offer much in the way of conciliatory actions toward the U.S. So it certainly doesn't appear that we're going to see much negotiating there or much progress in this trade war. And so we're going to be headed full bore into the Christmas season with a massive trade war on tap, and this just bodes for more expensive everything pretty much, since so much of what we bought was from China. But nevertheless, that certainly pulled beans off the lows, and it pulled the rest of the grain space off the lows as well, primarily because corn is going to follow beans to some degree, and wheat of course is going to follow corn as well. Now, USDA released their long-term outlooks a bit early this year for budget reasons. They're looking at next year's wheat plantings around 51 million acres. That'd be up 3.2 million from last year. They're looking at production at 2.06 billion bushels and ending stocks at 933 million, which is down about 25 million from this year's. We also have a supply-demand report out on Thursday. They're looking for wheat ending stocks to be just a couple million bushels higher than from last month. Now, the other thing we're looking at, of course, as we always do, is what is world cash price doing, and that is determined primarily by Russia. About a week and a half ago, Egypt bought a bunch of wheat. They bought some of it from the United States, in fact, and a cargo from Ukraine as well, and the rest of it from Russia. Russia clearly didn't like the U.S. participating in that sale. They immediately lowered their FOB offers as much as $7 a ton. And of course, that was part of the pressure that we saw early last week in the wheat space, only to bounce back because of the prospect of perhaps some kind of trade agreement resolution. But Russia's interior wheat prices continued to push higher. They've got their flour prices approaching multi-year highs, and it's clear that Russian domestic prices are not backing off very quickly, if at all. So for them to be able to offer FOB lower, that's going to require pretty tight margins or no margins at all. So we'll see how long that lasts. The next Egyptian tender or you know, some clarity on FOB offers. But even with the lowering of their FOB offers, they're still steady to a little bit higher than Europe or the United States. It's their transportation advantage that continues to keep them in the mix as far as sales. But the trade expects that it's going to be much more difficult for them to move wheat into the export channel as you get it deeper into December and beyond. That's going to open the window, of course, for U.S. and European sales, and primarily that would fall on U.S. anyway. Russia already is having trouble originating quality wheat, milling grade type of wheat, and the Europeans are not going to be exporting much, if any, of milling quality. So it all comes back here to the United States, where we enjoyed a high quality hard red winter wheat crop and spring wheat. Hard red winter wheat production volume was not all that great, but the millers bought pretty much everything right off the combine and blended it off with lower quality stocks from previous years. In spring wheat, we had a pretty decent size crop and it was a good quality. 14 plus is the average pro. And that's going to go a long way toward attracting business here to the United States. And frankly, we're already seeing that. Last week, the export sales were in the 550-plus range. That's notably higher than the average that we've seen over the last couple months. And much of that continues to go to the quality wheats of hard red winter wheat and spring wheat. So that's kind of where, you know, the wheat market is. It's we're testing harvest time lows again. We spent a fair amount of time down here, which is unfortunate, but at least we're holding these harvest time lows. From a fundamental perspective, it's hard to argue that we would go below that, particularly with the southern hemisphere production looking like it is, with Australia's crop much less than last year's drought-ridden crop, And Argentina is starting to shave back their production estimates as well. Quality, of course, usually is pretty good coming out of Argentina, but we expect that much of that will go to Brazil, who's having some quality issues of their own. So we don't expect to see much competition from the Southern Hemisphere, very little from Australia, as it's actually cheaper for Western Australia to ship wheat to the Eastern seaboard than it is into the Southeast Asian markets. That opens the doors wide open for U.S. white wheat, soft red wheat, especially wheat off the Pacific coast, obviously, from a freight advantage. So that I think that bodes very well for U.S. wheat in general. You know, we're going to move soft wheat into the Indo markets, and we're going to move hard quality wheat around the rest of the world. So I think we're well positioned, whether it's out of the Gulf, the West Coast, even the East Coast. Of course, the lakes are not going to be there for very much longer, and that'll be a while into the spring. But that's what we're looking for. I also look for, you know, wheat to have to buy some acres as we get into the spring. The winter grain planting season really around the Northern Hemisphere was fairly difficult. Of course, we had dry conditions in Europe and the Black Sea, so that certainly didn't attract more acres. It might be up a little bit, but certainly not what the world needs. And then here in the United States, we had a lot of rain in the southern plains right during the, you know, the last half of the planting season. So it's expected that plantings of winter wheat are probably going to be steady at best in the southern plains. If much of the wheat that went in, and any really increase in wheat acres would have been planted late, and it's not going to be well established before the cold sets in. And that's what we're looking at across Europe and the Black Sea as well, that the cold is coming, looks like next week, and those crops are not well established. Ukraine, however, did report that 90% of their wheat is in good condition. So I would expect that wheat will hold these harvest time lows. We might spend some time chopping around here till we can get a better idea of Russia's quality and Russia's offers. But I think it's pretty safe to say that we're going to be competitive, as are the Europeans, I think, from here on out, especially with, you know, Russian exporters going to be much less certain as to the quantity and the quality of the wheat they originate here as we move forward. I would expect that through the winter and certainly into the spring that we'll be in a demand-led market, which is pretty much a grinding type of market. You get your surges, and then you spend a lot of time chopping around, pulling back a bit, and then you get your surges. So that's what I would look for. Market usually has some pullback into this time of year because of the Southern Hemisphere harvest. But again, Australia is going to be, we're not going to see much competition, if any, coming out of Australia, and it'll be fairly limited out of Argentina. So this makes an easier pathway for U.S. wheat into the broader world market. And again, I think you're going to have to buy some acres as you get into the spring because of the difficulty of the winter wheat acres. And we'll have a good look at what those acres are as you break dormancy and you get started planting spring wheat. Any hint that you've got production problems coming for winter wheat, and that's going to put a big burden on spring wheat to get more acres in. And you're going to see that Minneapolis market, I think, really take off in the spring. So I think it will be the leader of the complex, ultimately, as Kansas City will keep up as well, because that's obviously a quality wheat. But when it comes to the longer-term picture, and we're already seeing that, last couple weeks, Minneapolis consistently, almost every single day, is up, you know, anywhere from 1 to 3 cents over the winter wheat. So that spread is already widening out. I think it has a lot of room to move as we work our way into the winter and especially into the spring. Any questions, just give me a call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.